Gateway Christian Center. Experience life.
Today we ask in the name of the Lord Jesus, you for whom all things were made, and to you whom all things consist, we ask in the name of the Lord Jesus, please open our eyes this morning that we might behold wondrous things out of your law. We give you praise, Father, in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Oh, that's a good place to say amen. Please take your seats in God's presence. This morning I am compelled by the Spirit to speak briefly on why faith. Somebody say, why faith? But I remembered also that there was one piece of scripture I'd promised you I was going to take you through. So Romans chapter 1. Thank you, guys. Romans chapter 1 from verse 1. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Paul started by saying, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle separated unto the gospel. Praise God. Come on, praise God. Look at this. He said, verse 2, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the holy scriptures. So what did he promise before in the holy scriptures by the prophets? The gospel. Are you? Let's go again. Paul, one verse one. Paul is servant of who? Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel. Next verse. Which, if you had said whom, it would have been Jesus Christ. But the Bible says, which he had promised afore by his holy, by his prophets in the holy scriptures. That means all of the Old Testament was actually a promissory testament for the fulfillment in the new. Are you following me? In simple language, everything that was a promise in the old covenant is now fulfilled in the new. There is no old covenant promise that remains a promise. Are you following me? So everything that was written in the past in the old covenant. Now you need to know that when Paul was writing this, number one, he was not attempting to write the Bible. Are you following me? The canonization of the letters of the New Testament happened much later, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Let us agree that it was completely by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that only what needed to make it to the Bible made it there. So the Bible is complete canon. But hear this, he was not writing at this time to be canonized. That means, listen to this very carefully, every truth Paul wrote in the New Testament, he deduced from the old. So what they did was that they looked at the Old Testament and passed the Old Testament through the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus to see that Jesus, simply put, became a bridge to cause prophecy to become fulfillment. Okay. It looks like we've got a bit of an assignment this morning. Are you following me? Did you follow me so far? So, Paul, by the Old Testament. Right? So, you find out that all of the scriptures he quoted as his defense that the gospel was going to come to the Gentiles, he also picked them from the prophecy of the prophets. But look at this. It was that gospel, he said, I was called unto. So hear this. The difference between BC and and AD is the gospel. Do you understand it? The difference between BC and AD was the gospel. Let me say it to you the way it will get to you. Listen, the people who lived in BC are still pained in heaven that they were not living in AD. I wish you understood me. Did you get me? I don't want to have to prove too many things today so that I can stay on course. Even though I'll go to 2 Peter chapter 1 to show you that the Bible says that the prophets inquired diligently, searching what and what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when he testified beforehand of the sufferings of Christ and the glory that will follow, to whom it was witnessed that not unto them but unto us did they preach these things with the Holy Ghost sent from heaven, which things the angels even desire to look into. So it's not only Old Testament prophets that are jealous of you. You understand Hebrews chapter 11 now? So, wherefore God, having planned some better thing for us, that they, the heroes of faith listed in Hebrews chapter 11, without us cannot be made perfect. So we entered in a dispensation of the promise fulfilled. Are you following me? So, in the grandstand of heaven, everyone is looking at you and wondering why you are living as though they are your example. I wish you heard me. Abraham wished he had what you had. Moses is wishing he has what you had. Can I add one scripture to it? It was in Matthew chapter 11 and several sequels in the New Testament that Jesus said, of all men born of women, none has risen greater than John the Baptist. Then he said, but the least in the kingdom is greater than he. Was Abraham born of a woman? John the Baptist was greater than him. Are you in the kingdom? You are greater than John the Baptist. And if you are greater than John the Baptist and John the Baptist is greater than Elijah, you are Elijah's envy. And I will show you, because I just made a statement I'm going to follow up to quote and unquote correct. Because that you are born again does not mean that you have entered the kingdom. And what qualifies you to be called greater than them is the entrance into the kingdom. So the point of faithlessness is that many people who now have the ability to perceive or see the kingdom have refused to make the transition into entering to live by the kingdom. But the moment you enter the kingdom, you become Elijah's envy. Oh, not only do you become Elijah's envy, the angels long to look into the conversations that should be happening between you and the one who is following you behind. I thought you were here when I spoke faith in the faith of. The only way angels enter into the mysteries of God is when the sons of God are displaying it. So angels are not custodians of mysteries. They are custodians of instruction. They only hearken to do what God commands. They don't know the processes of God. They don't even know where he's going. That is why the Bible says, unto the angels has he not committed the world to come, whereof we speak. Hebrews 2 verse 5. But one testified in a certain place, saying, what is man that you are mindful of him? So the angel one day could not hold his jealousy. He looked at God and he said, I wish he said, who is man? I'll try it again. I wish he said, who is man that you are mindful of him? What he said is, what is man? May than Adam. You understand? Waye dignifies you. It gives you a personality. Because if you look in the constructive form of creation, the angel excels in might. He's not limited in time. He does not take time to think about what God said. He goes to execute it. When the angel looks at you, you look like a what? Because to cover from here to that place where we get church now, to Kashere, you are waiting for a car. If God says to an angel, Kashere, before he says Dire, he's there. Do you understand it? You, God is even telling you, start a walk in Kashere. You are thinking, you are praying, you are trying to be sure. You are confirming with your brethren. You are thinking what structure you will use. So the angel is looking at you and thinking, are you mad? Do you know who just spoke to you? That's how Gabriel ended up giving Zechariah dumbness. Zechariah said, how would this happen? I'm sure that day, when Gabriel went back, he apologized to God. Because God did not give him dumbness to give a... Are you following me? He said, when Zechariah said, how? We are old though. How would this thing now happen? Gabriel didn't say, all Gabriel said is, I am Gabriel. He said, God did not send a junior angel for this assignment. That God warned me to make sure that I brought this good news myself. Gabriel was saying, do you know what it takes to stand in the presence of the Holy One while he's speaking? Do you know how many times I was slammed to eternity's wall to collect your message? Then I'm coming here and I'm telling you that your wife will be pregnant. Then you're telling me that you're old. Oh, that mouth that you used to say that thing. Before you spoil the rest of the things that God, shut up there. Into which things the angels. See, I need you to become, first and foremost, today, I want you to first be excited about your spiritual position. Because you see, even though both of us went to training camp, somebody finished camp as recruit, the other one finished as officer. The excitement of the POP of officers is not the same with the excitement of the POP of recruits. Now, if you see an officer doing POP and wanting, listen, in the army, there are sergeants who have to salute their children. They use all their recruit life to raise those children. Those children went to academy and came out as officers. They no born you even though now your school fees. I wish you heard me. That means there's no angel that comes to the vicinity of where you are by reason of positioning. Even if the angel was the one who brought the sand that they used to form you. I don't know when this message will get to Gateway, but it will get there. It will get there. Are you following me? Is somebody getting it? If you understand spiritual ranking, their anger will follow it. You'll not be wondering, why have I been living like this? Listen, it's not a testimony in church that I saw an angel. Hey, let's not go to Galatians. We only use it to intimidate each other. Yeah. Even the angels are marveling that they are discussing that they saw us. And, me, when I came to you, Nasen, they sent me. Are you alive? By all spiritual positioning, you have been granted superiority and advantage by God. The only marvel in heaven now is how come you are not using your advantage? So you are reading Daniel like an impossible story. Daniel is saying to you, are you okay? Let me tell you how Daniel is thinking of you. Are you alive? When they came to Daniel and they said the king had a dream, and he wants both the dream and the interpretation, Daniel said, give us one night. What you have inside of you, this is how Jesus described it. He said, do not be afraid when you are called to question. He said, for it will be given to you in that very moment. That means if I connect to the fountain of the Spirit of God by natural operation, if you are asking me a question I do not know the answer to, I can plug into the Spirit. If I open my mouth by faith, the rest of the answer will come out. If you don't understand this, it's because you have never prophesied. No prophet prophesies on you because he has a full detail. The prophetic works by faith. If I lift you up and I said, thus said the Lord to you, man of God, that for so long you have waited upon, so as I'm talking, the files are opening. So if I did not say, thus said the Lord to you, the moment I said, thus said the Lord to you, there's an angel assigned to go and look for the file of your prophecy and supply me the information right there. And it's available to all believers. Moses said in the Old Testament, I wish that all of God's children were prophets and that they all prophesied. Then God said to you, that in that day, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters, it's not they will speak in tongues, they will prophesy. Actually, tongues is a token for prophecy. If you can speak in tongues, you can prophesy. No man can speak in tongues and not find access to the things that are hidden in God. That's Romans chapter 8. We'll not discuss it today. Now, I'm going to show you, because I told you, my compelling drive today is to show you why faith. So imagine, Reverend Joel, imagine, sir, that Satan succeeded, please follow me, in convincing a generation that the function of tongues is different from its original function. And so the original function is now disarmed. The only function that they have in tongues is what they believe, because everything is bound to faith. So all we know is that when we speak in tongues, before God we are speaking mysteries, but God is hearing exactly what we are saying. Then Satan made us comfortable not hearing what we are saying. Even though by the prophecy that birthed tongues in Isaiah chapter 28, the Bible says, with stammering lips and with broken tongues will I speak to these people. That means if you are speaking in tongues, it is God attempting to say something to you. So tongues is not you. You don't know what to pray for as you ought. But the Spirit of God makes intercession for the saints with groanings that cannot be uttered. And we know that the Spirit makes intercession according to the will of God. So tongues is one of the ways God wants you to know the will of God. So God is praying to God. God, the Holy Spirit, is praying to God, the one who sits upon the throne, and permitting to it to be said by the mouth of the believer so that it can be heard by the ear of the believer. We'll get it. So it's not noise. If I open my ears while I'm saying it, I'll soon hear what the Spirit is praying to me. And if I hear what the Spirit is praying to me, because the Spirit only prays the will of God. I come again. Because the Spirit only prays the will of God. Listen, that means there is nothing the Holy Spirit will pray through you that God will not answer. The problem of prayer, James chapter 4, is that you pray outside of the will of God. That's why you don't get answers. So if the Spirit is praying the will of God, it means that you are guaranteed that whatever the Spirit prays is answered. So praying in tongues is designed to be a bypass. Are you following me? So that if I'm beginning to desire a purpose that is not in the agenda of God, if I take it to prayer and I begin to pray in tongues, what I will hear the Holy Spirit saying is, Lord, please make sure that you deviate me from this thing I am insisting on, so that I can be firmly established in your will. Now, when I hear it, I know that thing I've been pursuing is not the will of God. At that point, I cooperate with the Holy Spirit to make sure that thing does not come to pass. Because the Holy Spirit cannot pray a prayer that God will not answer.
I'll try it another day. I'll try it another day. Let's be good. Why faith? That's where I'm going to. Are you still here? Come on, believers. Are you still here? So understand that while you are saying, Kai, Daniel. See, one of the marks that made David a man after God's own heart was that David did nothing without inquiring of the Lord. And no amount of pressure stopped David from inquiring of the Lord. You remember the day they came back in Ziklag and found out that their camp was raided. If it was only the raiding of the camp, it is already sufficient discouragement. But everybody, the mighty men of David, got up and looked at him and they were angry. And now they were angry with their commander, with their king. And they were going to take actions. In the midst of it, David did not balk to pressure. What he did was, the Bible says, and David inquired of the Lord. Now look at it. Look at this. I'm going to open up a psalm to you right now. All right? He said, though an host should encamp against me, in this will I be confident. Then he said, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after. Psalm 27. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Listen. So David was saying, I have one desire only. If I can just dwell in the house of God forever, I'm satisfied. Then they asked David, why? He said, so that I can consistently be beholding the beauty of God, and if anything is happening in my life, I will inquire in his temple. That prayer that David prayed is invalid in the New Testament. Because know ye not that your bodies... Ayo. So you cannot be praying that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, because you presently, you are the house of the Lord. Now, this is where the problem is. David said, the reason why I want to dwell there all the days of my life is so that I can be constantly beholding the beauty of the Lord and inquiring in his temple. So, man of God, if a problem faced David, he'll be thinking, please, let today's job finish so that I can run to the temple and pray and inquire of the Lord. Now, there is no temple to run to. I am the temple. So if I'm faced with a circumstance, oh, you didn't see me. If I'm faced with a circumstance, if I do, I'll tell you the answer. Because now I dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, beholding the beauty of God and inquiring in his temple. But guess what? Believers are still faced with circumstances. They are waiting for 7 days of the mountain of fire. I'm not talking about the church. No. I'm saying the mountain of fire, where, do you understand, where fire catches mountain. When one special man of God lands upon the mountain. So I say, this next 7 days of fire will answer all your questions. And because it is constantly before your eyes, it is erasing New Testament truths. Yes, but guess what? The just shall live by his faith. Because that's how you have chosen to live. That's the only way God can relate with you. Yes, hey, hey-o. That means I can upgrade how I relate with God. You can choose that the sickness that you are suffering from can wait for the next healing and miracle crusade. Let's hope that Reinhard Bonnke, thank God Reinhard Bonnke is dead now. Let's hope that Kai, Dala, did you check Reinhard Bonnke? Is he coming to Nigeria next year? Okay, let's use somebody who is alive. Did you check Benny Hinn's online DC? Is he coming to Nigeria next year? They say, why? He said, because when Benny Hinn comes, I know him, very anointed. Do you understand this? When he comes, if he can just turn and look in my direction, Now, the moment you generate faith in that direction, God will be waiting for you in the faith you generate. Because faith is the reflection of what you know concerning God. And until you improve what you know concerning God, you cannot improve your experience of God. The just shall live by his own faith. The just shall live by his own faith. Aya. It was in that same Romans chapter 1 that we read, that a little later he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of God, Christ. He said, for in the gospel is the power. Sorry. For the gospel is the power. I wish you heard me. The power is not contained in the gospel. The gospel is the power. That means if the gospel is present, power is present. So the power is not in the gospel. The gospel is the power. Are you following me? The preacher is not in Chintok. Chintok is the preacher. As long as Chintok is present, there's a preacher. Whether he preaches or not, the preacher is present. If he does not preach, it's because we did not place a demand on the preacher. I walked into this service and Ibide was ministering. And as preacher as I am, I had to wait and push it up. That's how it is. When you fall, you rise again. Because at that time, it is his oracle that is speaking. So all of us submit to his oracle. Now listen to this. If his oracle does not place a demand on the power of God, we will wait until an oracle rises that places a demand on the power of God. In the gospel is not the power. The gospel is the power. That means if you are not seeing the power, you are not deploying the gospel. It is present, you are just not using it. Why faith? Why faith? Why faith? I want to make the pictures as vivid as the Lord will help me make it this morning. So that when you leave, you realize that God is not responsible for your experience. You are responsible for your experience. See, if God is responsible for your experience, God cannot judge. I said again. If God is responsible for your experience, God cannot judge. You guess what? Why? Because if God determines who gets healed and who does not get healed, he cannot hold the man who does not get healed responsible for not getting healed. Are you following me? It then means that there has to be a principle that becomes the equalizer of all men. And the equalizing principle is the principle of faith. So that if he came to you, sir, please stand. We have already said the examples. Start on the edge of the rug. The Bible says, submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and what? Then the Bible says, take a step, sir. Draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. Oh, you didn't see it. I finished the example. Let's do it again, sir. Draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. That means God cannot initiate the motion in your direction. Actually, go back, sir. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Draw near to God. You will find out that most of the things you do in an attempt to draw near to God are only triggers. That what you find from God is always far larger than how much you seek him. So, while I am here with God, the same God, please go back there, sir. Pastor Uzziah, please help me stand there. That same God who is here with me, you know he's omnipresent. So keep the image of him here. That same God is standing here, and Pastor Uzziah will not take the first step in the direction of God. So listen, I get up and I stretch my hands, and things are happening. And he attempts to stretch his hands and nothing's happening. And you think it is God who made a choice in me and rejected him. No. it is me that made a choice in God. Because if it is God who made a choice in me, God cannot look at Hosea and say, why is your ministry not producing fruit? Please forgive the uniformity of our examples. Because normally the fruit God is looking for from each one of us is different, according to the faith of the Son of God. By now, when I say that, you should. Because we're designed for different things, our fruiting is in different measures. So if I bring it to a uniform measure, I am not speaking accurately. Because what I fruit in the working of miracles, somebody is supposed to fruit in administration. Yeah, Paul said that. But imagine a fruitful miracle worker with a fruitless administrator. When they both stand before God, that's why what God will judge is not acts, it's faithfulness. And faithfulness is your ability to steward what is committed to you. The reason why saying this is important is so that you don't enter into a useless competition with people you can never catch up with. Because you can't compete with me in my area of grace. The faith of the Son of God towards me is different from the faith of the Son of God towards you. So your measurement of fruitfulness must be according to the faith of the Son of God. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Do I still have believers in the room? Come on, do I still have believers in the room? I'm saying this so that you understand that when we stand before God, the Bible says that he might be justified when he judges, Psalm 51. So for God to be justified when he judges, he has to make everything that is provided by him available to all, but put a principle that permits that every man decides how much of God he takes. What are you? Are you following me? Now, it is in that investments separates the level of furnishings and preparedness in people, and then you think one person is more furnished than the other. No, it is that people invested time and attention. So, called by God, but I separated myself unto the gospel. Listen to this. Two implications to that. You can be called and refuse to give diligent separation to your calling, and you will not bear fruit. But guess this. This is the second one, and it is the most painful one. You can be called and separate yourself onto a gospel that is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'll say it again. You can be called. Let me break a table. You can be called and separate yourself onto the gospel that believes that you cannot see power until after 10 years of fasting. And as much as that gospel is anti-grace, that's the only thing that can work for you. Because the just shall live by his faith. It then means that your primary assignment, listen, that means when Satan wants to cheat you, what he does is he plays with your doctrine. Yeah, I saw myself speaking about this morning. I saw myself. When I was praying, I saw myself. I was teaching you Mark chapter 2, and the door just opened. Called of God, but separated unto the gospel, the same one which the prophets prophesied in the Holy Scriptures. And by digging up out of 1 Peter chapter 2, I just told you that the Bible says that the prophet searched and inquired diligently of the sufferings, not of Christians, of Christ, and the glories that will follow because Christ suffered. That means the gospel is the glory that followed by reason of what Jesus paid for. Not the price you pay. Listen, I will show you. The only labor left for the believer is labor to enter into his rest. That means when I fast to know God more, not to get power. Power is available to me. If I know God better, I will know how to operate power. Healing is available to me, both as health in my body or as transmission of healing in the body of others. Are you with me? It's available to me. But grace and peace be multiplied unto you according to the knowledge, not of grace and peace, but of Him. Kai. So grace does not multiply according to the knowledge of grace. Peace does not multiply according to the knowledge of peace. It multiplies according to the knowledge of Him. So if I go fasting, I must be fasting to know Him, not to operate power. And if I know Him, I will understand by divine precepts what His availability of power is. And by believing, I will initiate it in my life. The law of faith is this, that you must believe that you have it, and then you will receive it. Ayo. It's Mark 11 now. Hagin spent his entire life teaching it. The law of faith is this, that you must believe that you have it. Then, so, when I find it in scripture, I must believe that this scripture is talking about me. And when I go out, I must carry myself knowing that the only way that scripture will work is that I put it to work. So if I believe that there's a healing anointing over my life, it means that when I see the sick, it's demonstration time. Oh, I thought you heard me. That's the only way that heaven and hell know that I believe the word of the Lord. A word you are not willing to exercise, not hear us only deceiving your own selves. I thought you heard that scripture yesterday. So, be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. That means a man does not have the word until he does it. That means how we know you believe is what you begin to do. Furnished and prepared, useless until you begin to do. Let me say it again. Furnished and prepared, useless until you begin to do. That means part of things that should make you cry today is how much potential we are sitting on and doing nothing because we are postponed to the future, a preparedness God gave us in the past. And every time Satan wants to cheat that generation, what he does is he tampers with their doctrine. Because the just shall live by his own faith. Okay. Sit down, sirs. Let me push this a little more. Is anybody getting blessed? Yes, are you like 8 people? Is anybody getting blessed? Yes, I need to understand this. I thank God that Michelle said yesterday that what we are doing now is not the conference. Abby, were you here when he said it? Yes, Abby, was I didn't mean? You were here when he said it, right? Yes, that what we are doing now is like the preamble to the conference. Is when you return and take these things and give diligent attention to it and decide to begin to conform your life to it. That's when you attended 360. For now, we'll consider you a fan. Fans of Prophet Adam, fans of Nosa, fans of Reverend Michelle. I have no fan, I have AC. Oh, sorry. You didn't get the joke, it's all right. It's okay. Sir, I'm your fan. Somebody blocked me at one airport. I said, sir, I'm such a great fan. I said, which type? Ceiling fan, standing fan, wall fan, or hand fan? And the lady just started laughing. I've got no fans. I've got aces. Glory to God. Come on, I said, glory to God. Now, hear this. So for now, let's consider that you are fans. And I don't mean it derogatorily. I mean, you could be here because you have a connection too. You're connected to Reverend Michelle. You love the ministry of Prophet Adam. Oh, wow. Now unto the Lamb upon the throne, we raise a sound. I like Nosa. Nosa has written mighty songs. If I was here when he came, there are certain songs that I compelled him to sing. Did he sing "More Precious Than Sharon's Roses"? Did he sing it? If not, he will not go. "You are the God of glory. The works of your hands declare your praise. They sing hallelujah. We join the host of heaven, yeah. Lifting your name on high. The stars cannot match your beauty, no. We sing hallelujah. Adonai, you are the Most High. King on high, you are the Most High God. El Shaddai, you are the Most High. We sing hallelujah. Let me leave Nosa with a song. Hey! That song. That song. I thank God for Nosa. Our journey with him began like 14 years ago. And seeing what God is doing with him in the nations of the earth, I give thanks. He writes songs that you know come from the presence of God. Ta! Sorry, I didn't come talk about Nosa. Let's talk about Jesus. Well, we are glorifying Jesus in us. You know that answer. That. Do you understand it? Every manifestation you see that you desire tells you that somebody had faith in the faith of. No matter how hard you try, you will not become a singer because you converted the gifts of Nosa. You will only become the best of what you were created to be. It's part of my emphasis in this conference. So that nobody's manifestation should intimidate you. It should spur you up to better dimensions of your own manifestation. So don't ever try to be or copy what you see in anybody else. Let it be that if you see a glorious beauty sprouting out of a person's ministry, run back to the one who has faith in you. Then ask him, what is your faith building for me so that I can know what to believe in? Because me too, I will shine brightly in where you are placed. Some of you, what you see in Nosa, in music and worship, is in you, in business and entrepreneurship. That way, everything you touch turns to gold. And God did it so that the whole body will be tempered together. So that Nosa can collect your gold, then you can receive of the presence that his songs releases. That's why, listen, if anybody takes away giving from you, he has killed you. And when we speak giving, we are not only speaking resources. Resources are absolutely important. You can't belong to a spiritual house and not supply of the goodness of God for the running of the house. It's a curse. It's a curse. But there's a form of giving that makes that we serve one another with the blossoming of what we find in God. Are you alive? Yes, sir. Why you believers? Are we alive? Yes, sir. Why you yes? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's find a way to finish this. Look, Mark chapter 2. No, not carry my tablet. Come over there. Thank you. Quickly. Mark chapter 2. I saw myself reading this scripture to you. So let me obey the heavenly vision and leave you alone. From verse 18. Mark 2, 18, 19, 20, 21. Come on. Glory to God. Okay. And disciples of John and of the Pharisees said, Come on, believers. You just said that I don't have time. Eh? Used to fast. They had the practice of fasting. And they come unto him and say, why do your disciples of John, who is the person who announced you, and of the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast? Next verse. See the answer of Jesus. Jesus said, can the children of the bride chamber fast when the bridegroom is with them? That means the physical presence of the bridegroom suspends their fasting. Because whatever they would be fasting to know, the bridegroom reveals it to them, supplies it to them. He said, but the day is coming when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and in that day they shall fast. That means that fast is designed to bring near the one who feels far. Are you following me? The essence of a fast is to bring you to the place where you can fasten. So if he begins to feel like he's far and you are unsure, you fast. And the idea of fasting is to suspend other activities and say to him, you are important to me. Then when he comes close, you'll find direction. The moment direction is consistently present and his voice is consistently heard, fasting is religion. Listen, and this is how Jesus describes it. He says, neither do men pour new wine in an old wineskin. That means there's a level of divine trust that God cannot give you as long as your doctrine is wrong. I'll tell you what that means in very simple terms. What Jesus was saying is, if I let my disciples fast now, they will be fasting like the disciples of John. And the understanding of the kingdom as sustained by John is not the same with the understanding of the kingdom that I brought. Because John soon is going to be offended with my manifestation of the kingdom. If somebody who knows the Bible should answer me, I beg. Do you understand it? So what I am bringing is an improvement on what John taught. If I allow them to fast now, they'll be fasting for the same reasons why disciples of John are fasting. So listen to this. So what will I do? As the bridegroom, as I'm with them, I will upgrade their knowledge and upgrade their doctrine so that when they fast differently. Let me close like this. Listen to this. No spiritual activity substitutes knowledge. In fact, sometimes your undoing is to increase spiritual activity on ignorance. This is where I share the grace. So, listen to this. When we speak furnished and prepared, we are not even speaking increase in activity. What we are saying is know God and know what is available to you. So that when you fast, you are insisting on accurate knowledge. Because what you experience is not what God gave, is what you believe. So who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? If you believe a different report, your experience will be according to what you believe. I want to take time out this morning to say to you, listen to this. Man is designed to attract in his direction what he has chosen to believe. Ma, let me close like this. Do you realize that the spies did not enter the house of Rahab by chance? They were not looking for where to hide, and then they stumbled into the house of Rahab. Listen, Rahab said, we have heard of your God. What he did to Pharaoh. How he brought you through the wilderness. She said, we heard of how he subdued Og, the king of Bashan. We heard of how he subdued Sihon. That means that Rahab was still prostituting, but she was keeping up with the news in Israel. And in her heart, she was saying, if I get the opportunity, I will join this nation. If I get the opportunity, I will join this nation. Her faith created a force field around her that made that God had to create circumstances that brought the spies into her house. So by faith, Rahab kept the spies. Her heart was prepared. Even though she didn't know how God was going to do it, but her heart had ported to Israel. She knew there's nothing that will save our nation if these people come here. If I had the ear of the king, I would have advised him to surrender. As he kept thinking and believing, she was creating a faith force field. Listen, I said in our church not too many months ago, I said to them, the God you know is not the God that is the God you have chosen to believe. If you believe the God of judgment, the God you will know is the God that judges. If you believe the God of mercy, the God you will know is the God of mercy. So in your best interest, align your lenses to become accurate with how God sees. Because God will not change because you saw him differently, but your experience will change. If you think of God as a last minute God, where I would have suffered, I would have nearly died, then he will save me, you will realize that all your testimonies are last minute testimonies. If you believe in the God who is super abundant in his provision, that his provisions start with me and they end with me, your experience will change. You will not have to suffer for so long. And if you ever arrive at suffering, you will find that it was solely in an ordination and that the comfort of the Lord went with you. I came to say to you this morning, you shape your experience by your believing. So in your best interest, before you fast, find a scripture. In your best interest, before you enter 12 days of prayer, find a basis. Let it be something you discovered about God that you have not yet experienced that should send you to fast. If not, you'll be asking God to pour new wine in no wineskin. And God will look at you and say, if I give you what I'm doing now, the way your wineskin is, you will bust it.
Gateway Christian Center. Experience life.